Speaking on another gospel, a couple of weeks ago, I had a visit from Mormons, two young men, but they call themselves elders. I thought, if you are elder, boy, I am a dinosaur. Anyway, they told me that they were greeting, and they said, I knew what they were doing. And I had one of those Christian shirts from the men's conference, and they kind of looked at my chest and thinking, oh yeah, this is a freak. So I kind of concluded, because I was studying on Saturday morning, I didn't want to spend too much time, so I said, your Jesus is not the same Jesus as my Jesus. And he said, oh yeah, it's the same Jesus. So I said, no, it's not, because my Jesus is God. Your Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. He said, oh no, he is a God. So I asked him, how many gods do you have? He said, one God. Hold on a sec. You said that he is a God, and you said there is one God. You already contradict your own doctrine. And Bible says Jesus is God. Don't ever think that he is anything other than God. Bible clearly defined it. If you ever think that Jesus is not God, read the book of Colossians. It talks about the supremacy of Jesus Christ as God. And also read the book of John, that it will talk about Jesus as a king and God. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's start. God is more concerned about including us in his perfect will than we would ever be. But somehow people think that knowing the will of God for our lives is some sort of mystical approach for our future. And so you can hear the background music. It ain't so. We have a tendency to think that God's supposed to reveal his will for us in such a dramatic ways. One might be that he's coming up with a thunderous voice from heaven speaking to, this is God. Maybe with a little bit of a Korean accent. Second thing would be they're thinking that somehow there will be soft, gentle, celestial music in the background. And then there's a tinkling sound, and then there is this soft, sweet fragrance breeze coming to you, and this jeweled golden scroll coming down from heaven. This is my will for you. It doesn't happen that way. I haven't seen it yet. So far, none of the people witness it. The majority born-again Christian, if not everyone, want to know the God's will for them. But more than not, many of them want to know the will of God as with the wrong motive. With the wrong motive. Let me put it this way. Knowing God's will is not knowing about our future itinerary, but rather following him with the right attitude. Right attitude. Don't think that knowing will is some sort of like looking at the Christian crystal ball. First of all, crystal ball is nothing more than garbage hawks trying to get the money from the people. And there is no such a thing as a Christian crystal ball. Like I said, it is having a right attitude to follow God. Many times we feel like God is leading us as if we are blind. And no, that's not so. God doesn't play hide-and-seek game. He wants us to know his will for us. He wants us to know. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you to know your way, to know your will for our lives. You make it very clear to us, but we are the one who get confused. So we come to you, and we are asking for your wisdom. Your word said, if anyone lacking in wisdom, simply come. So we come to you. And you open our heart to receive what Holy Spirit store for us. And we also lift up our president, President Bush, who has only a few months left in his term. We are asking you to let him do everything in such a way that he may receive good. He may bring glory to you, and you give him wisdom. And we pray for the President-elect Obama. You're willing, let him be, come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we also pray for his upcoming cabinet and the Congress and the Senate, all those Democrat people who do not know you may come to know you. And we pray for our troops around the world. We are asking you to hedge your protection around them. And we will pray for our law enforcement personnel and around our communities, Tucson and the Sarita Green Valley, and all the way down to the Nogales, Border Patrol agents included. And we pray for our firefighters who rescue our lives. We're asking you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I'd like to talk about the general will of God. The most often we don't realize the answers that we've been looking for, the question we have about the God's will for us is written in black and white in the Bible. We are looking for all answers from the wrong places. This is the general will. Number one, it is God's will for us to be the believers of Jesus Christ. All of us. Not just you. Everyone around the world, that's God's desire, God's will for us. Let's turn our Bible to the second. Keep your finger there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We just reset the Bible index, so we should know where the 2 Peter is located. It's in the Old Testament. Right? Sure. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. One time I said 2 Peter, I think it was Colossians, somebody was doing here. I thought, whoa, they're going to find it good. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. Second general will of God is it is God's will for us to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Colossians, chapter 5, verse 15 through 19. Are you there yet? All right. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is a dissipation, but be filled. Would you underline filled, please? Be filled with the Spirit. It never said be drunk with the Spirit. Some of the charismatic people said it said be drunk with the Spirit. That is not correct translation. Verse 19, speaking to the one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. The reason why I ask you on the line, the field, is because the Greek tense for the verb, this field, is present. That means we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. What does it mean? What does it mean, this being filled with the Holy Spirit? Some of you might wonder. It means that you are relying on the Spirit of God and directed and empowered by Him all the time rather than running your own show or running your life by yourself. See, if you rely on God more heavily, that means you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning I talked with one of our brothers in this place. He asked me about I don't think I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk more about it next week. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is, let's say I am the container or you are the container like this. And God, the Holy Spirit, filled us with His Spirit. consider it as being like water. As you serve other people, you disperse that water to other people. You send out the blessing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the more you do it, the lower your container is going to be, the reservoir of that container. Then you need to be filled again. It's not something you do one time and, okay, I'm done deal. I don't need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. It's something you need every day. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Otherwise, I'm useless. So I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can we do it? Just simply ask. Simply ask. Holy Spirit, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Before your feet touch the ground from your bed, ask God, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God will not hold anything back when you ask for that kind of thing. He will do so. Third general will of God is it is a will of God for us to live a pure life. A pure life. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Right after Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain from sexual immorality. Would you underline sexual immorality? And you might want to write there, I will spell it to you, porneia, P-O-R-N-E-I-A, porneia. P-O-R-N-E-I-A. It's a Greek word for sexual immorality. It's a kind of broad sense of sexual immorality. We get the word, what? Pornography from this word, porneia. Now, what is the broad sense of sexual immorality? I'm talking about fornication, which is having sex before the marriage. In God's eyes, that's wrong. I don't care what kinds of excuses people come up with. Well, we're really about to get married. We are our hearts knit together as one. Then get married. Don't have sex before the marriage. Why you want to sin against God? If you are willing to get married, then get married. Or adultery. You know what that is? The sex outside of marriage with someone else. Fourth will of God is that it is a will of God for us to have an attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. It doesn't say, once in a while, if you feel like it, or if you like what you saw, if God dealt you a good hand, okay, give thanks. No, it's in everything, give thanks. Do I like it? You kidding me? When I go through difficult time, I don't feel like to give thanks, but my spirit, Holy Spirit, within me tells me otherwise. In everything give thanks, for this is what? This is what? Will of God. Are you guys awake? Alright, then can you answer me back? This is what? Will of God. So we give thanks in everything. In Christ Jesus for you. It's okay to ask the Lord for His will. The old Jewish proverb says, it's better for you to ask 10 times for the right direction than making one wrong turn. I am a problem. When it comes to finding way, when it comes to finding direction, I am a direction challenged person. I even get lost with the GPS. I was okay when I was younger. As I grow older, I've been hanging around with the Jerry Henry a little too long. I get lost so easily. Oh, nothing against you, buddy. Of course not. I don't mind. I'm not one of those guys who, I know some of you guys, staunch believer. I'm a macho guy. I don't need to ask a direction. And you start to heading to the west, you end up in Ohio, but you still think that you don't have to ask the direction. I'm not one of them. I want to know where I'm going. I don't want to waste time. So it's better for you to ask direction, ask God where you should go, than assume that or presume that God wants you to go this way. That is not the right thing. Let's go now. Finally, let's go to the verse 1. That's quite a long introduction. I beseech you, therefore, we might want to underline beseech, and write urge, U-R-G-E, urge, it's the same word. Therefore, the brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is such a typical style of Paul's writing. See, every single the epistle that Paul writes, known as Pauline's letter, Paul's letters, every one of them has a doctrinal introduction in the first Paul half. And then he gives us such a practical approach to all the problems we are facing, all the situations we are facing. It's not enough for us to just have a doctrinal concept in our head. We have to know what to do with that doctrinal concept. We have to know how to approach it. Let's go to James 1:25. Philemon, Hebrews, and James in New Testament. James 1:25. It says, but he who look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, and is not forgetful here, but the doer, underline doer. In other words, if you just hear continuously and not do what God says, we are in trouble. Doer of the work, and this one will be blessed in what he does. Go back to the Romans. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12 is conditional promise. What is the meaning of a conditional promise? Is if we do this, we are in good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is calling us to make a choice about about the way we live in Him. Before we became a born-again Christian, we did whatever we want, whatever our body desire or whatever our carnal desire demanded. We did whatever it says. But since we are followers of Jesus Christ, we want to use our body for the glory of God. And because Christian body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's of my body and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so we should not and will not defile our temple by doing the things that we should not do. It is our privilege to glorify and magnify the Christ's name through our body. Living sacrifice. There are two other examples in the Bible. First one you find is Isaac, the son of Abraham. You will find in Genesis chapter 22. It's talking about, you remember that the story. Isaac was up in the Mount Moriah, which is also known as Mount Golgotha, where Jesus died. He was on top of the altar, and he was bound by the father, and there is a wood around him, and father is about to step his own son. He became a living sacrifice in his obedience to the God in heaven and to his father. Of course, we know the story. The Lord God provided him a ram to sacrifice on behalf of Isaac to sacrifice. Another great example, the more perfect example, is Jesus Christ. He died on the Golgotha, on the cross, for us. He is the living sacrifice because he actually died as a sacrifice, obedience to God's will, and he rose again. Isaac, when he was lying on the altar, he was pretty much dead. When Abraham raised his hand to stab his own son, to kill his son as a sacrifice, he already, in a way, he already executed. because in their heart it's done deal. In the Old Testament, the priest never approached to the altar with a live animal. They always kill the animal prior to they bring to the altar. There is a burnt offering or the simply they are doing the cutting the animals. See, the Lord wants us to come to Him as a living being, with our own willingness. We are dead in a sense that we no longer live for ourselves, but we are alive in that we now live for God. We daily lay aside our own desire to follow Him. This reminds me of two verses. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. See how that fits in right there? Jesus Christ is our living sacrifice, and now we live for Him, so we no longer live as the way we want. Another verse is in Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16. Verse 24. He said to his disciple, Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up to his cross and follow me. Denying ourselves. That's the laying aside of what we want. So far you heard the word sacrifice and the dying to self and denying oneself. What does it mean? It's not about the following our own carnal desire every time it demands attention, but see, some of the Christians who are born again Christians still doing the things what their carnal desire demands. Some people say, well, I'm just doing this, it's not real, I'm not addicted to it. They drink alcohol, but they are alcoholic, and they smoke pot. They say it's a recreational, some silly excuse they come up with. And they visit the porno website, or they have this stash of porno magazines somewhere in the house where his wife or the husband don't know. Don't think the woman do not look at the porno magazines. They do nowadays, a lot more than before. And they're flirting with somebody who is not their spouse at work or wherever. Or committing adultery, fornication, so on. That doesn't please God. That's not the way you want to glorify God. Some people compartmentalize their lives. When they come to a church on Sunday morning, guess what? They look like a Christian, they smell like a Christian, they talk like a Christian. But once they leave the church door and where they nobody sees, all of a sudden their action is changed, their vocabulary is changed, their lives are completely changed. And when they come to the church and they hear the word of God that convict them, guess what they do? When they get convicted, the first thing they do is leaving the church. And they start to look for the church, they don't get convicted. As a matter of fact, there are plenty of churches that don't give a conviction through the Word of God. And this ain't going to be one of them. Because in here, you hear the Word of God, whether I'm here or not. Folks, don't ever think that just because you leave the church, don't think that God does not see you. God is omnipresent God. God is all-knowing God. You cannot escape from God's eyes. Let's go to, keep your finger there, Psalm 139. I quote this verse a few times already, but it's worth quoting again. Psalm 139, verse 7, please. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I said, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be the light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. Darkness and the light are both alike to you. How can we possibly become a living sacrifice? And that goes against our sinful nature. It sounds like something we cannot do. Yet it is something we can do. The problem with this living sacrifice, when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice on the altar, guess what the problem is? Since we are living, we tend to crawl off the altar and trying to do what we want to do. This can be possible as a living sacrifice. We can live the life the way it should be. It says there is a reasonable service. Reasonable service. It's not something God is not demanding us to do what is not possible. Ancient Greek word reasonable is logikos. Of course, we get the English word what? Logical. Logikos, it turned into logical. It's reasonable service is a life of worship of our God according to His word. According to His word. Let's go down to the verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. I had to borrow this from the C.J. Daniels and his kid. He's a Play-Doh. Is it yours? No wonder why it stinks. Okay, here's a Play-Doh. And here's a nice dolphin-shaped cutter. So I go like this. You can mold and shape this Play-Doh, and you can make nice dolphin, right? Here, dolphin like swim like this. You can shape and mold. This is what the world's trying to do to you. They're trying to mold you and shape you in the way they want. The world belongs to Satan. The God of the world is Satan. If you're watching MTV and VH1 or all these other cable channels regularly, guess what you are going to be shaped into? Whatever the form they want you to be. No wonder why some of the Christians have a vulgar still in their vocabulary. Think about it. Think about your vocabulary. Do you have any of those profane words coming out of your mouth? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let the corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that the hearer, that you may impart grace to the hearer. This profane word does not belong to any Christians, period. So watch your language, watch your word. Before you say the word, think about it. If God is next to me, would I say this to somebody else? And as a matter of fact, yeah, He is with you. Holy Spirit lives in you. So why should you talk that way? Folks, the word confirmed means an outward expression of something that doesn't come from within. And it wraps up, when we wrap ourselves around the things that characterize the world system, the goal of fortune, fame, power, and pleasure, we get into that kind of shape. Remember to think about that Play-Doh conforming into the shape that Satan wants. Can we go to the next slide? the battleground between the conforming to the world and being transformed into the God's image is within the mind of believers. Battleground is the mind of believers. It's not about what you have in your bank account or how much money, how much stock you have. Nowadays, that doesn't mean a thing. And what kind of car you drive. But rather, your mind is the battleground between God and Satan. Christian must think and act differently. Not weird, differently. To be transformed, however, means to assume outward expression of the inner reality. We take on the new shape because of the force from within. This pressed Play-Doh is being confirmed. However, the butterfly transformed from caterpillar to butterfly. The Greek word transform here, the verb mentioned here, is metamorphosis. It's kind of mouthful, but where we get the English word metamorphosis, metamorphosis, it's a change from inside out. Conformation is a difference. It's just a change outside only. How can we be different than the world? God transformed our mind and make us the spiritually minded by using His Word. Using His Word, the Bible. As we spend time meditating in God's Word and memorizing it and making it part of our inner man, God will gradually make our mind more spiritual. That's the reason why I insist memorizing verses each week. It is so important for you to have the Word of God in your heart. Don't think that, well, it's just something we do on Sunday morning. Put those words in your heart. See how much that will help you in the times. Let's move down to verse 2, second half of verse 2. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Many people think that they can control their will with the willpower. It's failed miserably. Can I make an example? Two examples. And you will say, oh yeah, diet, exercise. Right? Anyone disagree? We have a stomach to prove it, right? In January, they sell all this diet product. They sell all this exercise equipment. And the membership in the gym just goes sky high. And within 30 days, gym is empty. Why? Because people don't last. The willpower do not last. Let's make a good example. It's not just us. Apostle Paul is the same as well. In chapter 7, we just studied that portion. Chapter 7, book of Romans. I'm going to paraphrase. The things I want to do, I do not do. The things I don't want to do, that I do. We are not the only one who is suffering here as well. See, as we spend time in prayer, we surrender our will to God and pray, and with the Lord, not my will, but your will be done, and we must pray about everything. We must pray about everything and let God have His way in everything. Of course, you know the verse, the Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Pray in everything, right? And peace of God that passes all men's understanding will be upon you to guard your heart. So, you're thinking, okay, you talked about general way. We studied verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12. But you still haven't answered me about my will and my situation from God's heart. So how we are going to know that what we are about to do, for example, moving, getting a new job, or getting married, or whatever, how do I know this is the will of God? Here's a suggestion for you. Here's the suggestions. It's been said that before I go there, it's been said that the condition of an enlightened mind is a surrendered heart. Enlightened mind is a surrendered heart. If you want to know the will of God, you must have a heart that's surrendered. That is surrendered. Present yourself to Him and accept His will no matter what. And you may say, whoa, hold on, baby. I'm not going there. I want to know what's ahead of me before I sign up this God's will thing. Let me say this to you. God's will is always perfect, always good. We may not like what we hear right now, but His will is always good. So here's the three suggestions for you to consider. I know that I'm right for this one. Number one, God speaks to us through His Word, the Bible. God speaks to us through His Word, the Bible. The reason why I said it is because He will never contradict His Word. If you see the situation and put it against the Word of God, the Bible says test all things. If you put it against the Word of God, if it's not right, don't do it. But it's a great sale. Hello? Don't do it. Okay? Second thing that I suggest you is that God will speak to us through circumstance. God will speak to us through circumstance. This is a tricky. This is tricky. You have to be careful with this one because just because something happened, that doesn't mean some door is open for you, to some door opportunity open for you, that doesn't mean it's from God. Okay? Here's my advice for you. If you are facing the decision, whether it's you have to purchase or you have to do something, and the other person says, I need to know right now, my suggestion is, don't do it. If that person is pressuring you to decide right now, don't do it. The reason is because if it's God's will for you, He will give another way to come back to you. God is not some silly used car salesperson who will pressure, bring up the mountain of pressure and try to make you to decide. If any of you used car salesperson? Okay. No insult. Third suggestion is God will give us peace and confirmation to His will for us. Peace and confirmation. If in your heart you are about to do something because there is opportunity happen, there is, seems like it's okay with the will of God, but in your heart there's a nagging thing in your heart and you don't have a confirmation from God, guess what? Learn to hear that small voice in your heart. Go to the Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. Colossians 3:15. Are you guys with me? So, okay, stay with me. I'm about to finish. A couple more hours. 3:15. You don't mind, do you, John? Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Peace of God. That is so important. If you don't have a peace of God or the confirmation from God, then don't do it. That's the way we do it in the Calvary Chapel, the board of directors. We have four people in the board of directors. We pray about it. If we have a peace of God, everything is according to these three rules. We say go. Let's make three applications. Number one, following the will of God is not burdensome. Following the will of God is not burdensome to any of us. It is because He has perfect will for us. Don't ever think that God's will is too much or is something we cannot bear. There's a Greek word for that, right? It's not hogwash. It's a fat chance. Different Greek word. Okay, second application. While the world and Satan try to conform us to the mold of destruction, the Lord offers transformation into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I will take that any day. Don't you? Third application, please remember this. When we want to know the God's will, three things must be aligned. Number one, Holy Spirit gives you peace. Second, it does not go against your word of God. Third, God provides His permission through the particular circumstance. God's will must be reflect from the Word of God, not contradicting the Word of God, and you have a peace, and you have a circumstance. By the way, if the door is closed, my suggestion is don't kick the door down. I've done that one too many times when I was young in the Lord. It was ugly. Don't do that. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. Now we learned how to know your will, and we thank you for the wisdom you've given to us. And let your word come alive throughout the day and throughout the week, that we may bring glory to you and to your name. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.